Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of the WTF Files with Lewis Shoup. Sorry I haven't been on so much the past few days, as the number of WTFs is coming in fast and furious, and I'm really thinking about getting another file cabinet, even though I have no room here. Lots of things to talk about here recently. For example, people in Washington nowadays are banging their heads pretty bad. The Democrats are trying to get things done, especially in regards to election security, and the Republicans are banging their heads, doing everything they can to stand in their way. Five times, for example, in the past 2 days, Democrats have tried to quickly advance the election security bills onto the Senate floor, only for Republicans to block them. It's a campaign that Democrats have been waging periodically in recent months, and one they stepped up in coordination with Mueller's House testimony on Wednesday. Two of the rejected bills brought up Wednesday, S-1562 and S-1247, would require campaigns to notify government authorities if foreigners offer financial or other assistance. The third, S-890, would allow the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms to provide voluntary cybersecurity aid for senators and staffers' personal devices. That actually kind of sort of sounds interesting, you would think. Democrats also tried on Thursday to pass S-1247 again, as well as the House-passed SAFE Act, otherwise known as H.R. 2722, to require paper ballots and post-election audits, and would authorize more than $1 billion on election security-related expenses. Although Republicans didn't explain their objection Wednesday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell accused Democrats of trying to score political points. Schumer said Mueller's warnings about future election interference demanded action. Also Thursday, a pair of top Democrats criticized the White House for apparently lacking an official to coordinate interagency election security efforts. Imagine that. In other WTFs, the graphic artist who created a fake presidential seal that mocked President Donald Trump went from enmity to anti-Trump folk hero this week after the president stood before the seal during a gathering of conservative teens on Tuesday. Turning Point USA, the organization that hosted Trump at its Teen Action Summit in Washington, say a last-minute AV mistake caused the doctored seal to flank a gleaming Trump while he was on stage at the Washington Marriott Marquis. But the man who created it, fellow named Charles Lizot, according to multiple media reports, explains it this way, and I quote, "There are only two options here," he told Forbes. "This really was an accident, and their incompetence knows no bound, or someone did this on purpose, and they're lying to cover it up." The Washington Post reported that Lizot, age 46, is a former Republican from Richmond, Virginia, who twice voted for George W. Bush. The Post first reported on the altered seal the day after Trump's onstage appearance. As Trump walked on stage to a cheering audience on Tuesday, two presidential seals flashed on screen. The seal directly behind Trump was the authentic presidential seal. One of the seals, however, was not like the others. Upon closer examination, the seal on Trump's right included a double-headed eagle, unlike the single head of the traditional presidential seal, and seems to resemble the Russian coat of arms. The seal has a complex history, notes the Victoria and Albert Museum, but one of the more common interpretations is that the two heads represent Orient, East, and West. An allegory sometimes for unity and sometimes for absolute monarchy. It could be a reference to Trump's sometimes controversial relationship with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Glizad had mentioned he made the fake seal in 2016 amid Trump's run-up to the presidency as a way to amuse friends and family. He even started an online store where people could buy posters and t-shirts of the image. However, widespread enthusiasm for the seal didn't appear to take off until Thursday, after the seal's appearance made news. That's when, according to the Washington Post, Glizad noticed news coverage of the seal while drinking morning coffee. "It's been chaos," he told the Post. "This is not what I expected when I woke up today." Perhaps he should have woke up from the other side of the bed. In preceding years, though, however, Glizad had let his website fall by the wayside. "Cut to today," he told the magazine, and I put the site back up. It was also reported he sold out of shirts Thursday afternoon. While people celebrated Glizad online, there was fallout, however, at Turning Point USA, which told the press an audiovisual aide was fired over the mishap. The organization also apologized to the president, claiming zero malicious intent. Imagine this. In other interesting WTFs today, the integrity of American elections was compromised long before Donald Trump's shocking victory in 2016. But former special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress on Wednesday made clear that one political party is actively subverting attempts to protect our democracy. Hours after Mueller testified about foreign election interference before the House Intelligence Committee on Wednesday afternoon, the Republican-controlled Senate moved to block four separate bills to defend the U.S. democratic process. I spoke about this at the beginning of the show. "Over the course of my career," he says, I've seen a number of challenges to our democracy, according to Mueller's opening remarks. "The Russian government's effort to interfere in our election is among the most serious. As I said on May 29th, this deserves the attention of every American," unquote. Mueller told the committee that the Russian effort wasn't a single attempt. "They're doing it as we sit here, and they expect to do it during the next campaign." He later told lawmakers that much more needs to be done in order to protect against these intrusions, not just by the Russians, but others as well. Researchers have already reported suspicious Iranian disinformation campaigns on most major social media platforms this year. What Mueller said, coupled with his report, which found that the Russian government interfered in the 2016 election in sweeping and systemic fashion, is breathtaking. Russia's disinformation campaign in 2016 spent more than $1 million a month, as Mueller reported in an indictment last year. When given an opportunity to question Mueller, however, some Republicans on the Intelligence Committee actually challenged him on his findings, complaining that he was baselessly defaming the Kremlin. Even beyond their evident lack of interest in preventing election interference from happening again, Republicans seem to be defending it. This is no surprise when you recall that President Trump said as recently as last month that he'd be fine with accepting damaging information on an opponent from a foreign government. "I think you might want to listen," Trump said in an interview with ABC News. "There isn't anything wrong with listening. The next presidential election is less than 16 months away." The Russians are absolutely intent on trying to interfere with our elections, according to FBI Director Christopher Wray, who told this to the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. The next day, only hours after Mueller testified to the same effect, Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi, Republican, blocked two election security bills and a measure regarding cybersecurity for Senate staff. Democrats had hoped to pass a pair of bills requiring campaigns to alert the FBI and the Federal Election Commission if they received offers of assistance from abroad. Another bill would allow the Sergeant-at-Arms to offer voluntary assistance to help secure the personal devices and accounts of senators and their staff. Sounds like people like this Hyde Smith could really use an education here, because she blocked all the bills without offering any explanation for her actions or stating whether she made the motion by herself or on behalf of her party. Her move is generally in keeping with Republican arguments that Congress has already responded to election security issues, which primarily fall on state officials. Under Senate rules, any one senator can ask for consent to pass a bill, but any individual senator is able to object. Hyde Smith then tweeted about election security Wednesday night. That tweet is empty theater, as her actions prove. She talks of moving on as if the alarm bells Mueller has raised were solved merely by being rung, and mentions Russian meddling to cast a political scrim over a negatively partisan effort. Senate Intelligence Committee ranking member Mark Warner, Democrat from Virginia, condemned Hyde Smith's motion. Miller's testimony should serve as a warning to every member of this body about what could happen in 2020, literally in our next elections. But the committee's chairman, Senator Richard Burr, Republican from North Carolina, defended Hyde Smith on Wednesday, saying he did not think Congress needed to take further action to mitigate the threat of foreign intelligence. Last month, another freshman senator, Republican Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, blocked similar legislation, the Secure Elections Act, co-sponsored by Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma and backed by Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Senator Susan Collins of Maine, all Republicans, which streamlined cybersecurity information sharing between federal intelligence agencies and state election authorities, and provide security clearances to state election officials. It would also make relevant grants available to local jurisdictions. When Republicans controlled the House last summer, they eliminated new funding for states to strengthen election security. After years of unsuccessfully trying to defund the Federal Election Assistance Commission, Republicans defeated a bill to extend funding for a state grant program meant to ensure that the voting process is secure. The EAC is the sole federal agency that exclusively works to secure the integrity of the democratic process. It has worked with the FBI to examine an attack on the agency's computer systems by a Russian-speaking hacker after Trump's election. Late last month, the Democratic House majority passed an election security measure that authorized an additional $600 million to states, as well as a $175 million every other year to bolster election infrastructure. The bill would also require voting systems to use paper ballots as a backup to electronic systems and would require that all 50 states conduct audits after elections. Sounds like a no-brainer, huh? You would think. A recent analysis, however, by the Associated Press found that as many of the 10,000 election jurisdictions nationwide use old or outmoded operating systems to create their ballots, program voting machines, tally votes, and report counts. All but one Republican in the House opposed the bill. The day after Mueller's testimony, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blocked the bill in the Senate. Clearly, something so partisan that it only received one single solitary Republican vote in the House is not going to travel through the Senate by unanimous consent, McConnell said on Thursday. McConnell is suggesting that Democrats are seeking a political advantage by trying to stop foreign election interference. He also blocked the Duty to Report Act, which would require candidates, campaign officials, and their family members to notify the FBI of any offers of assistance from foreign governments. By blocking these bills, McConnell's giving the Republicans, who face a generic 7-point disadvantage in polls of voter preference, a political benefit. Recall that when Barack Obama raised concerns about possible foreign meddling in 2016, McConnell threatened that if then-president went public with it, the Senate leader would claim the Democrats were merely playing politics. At least a dozen Republican congressional campaigns used materials stolen from Democrats by Russian hackers during the 2016 election. Several other Republican campaigns received millions in contributions from an oligarch with close ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin. In 2018, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee called upon the National Republican Congressional Committee to make a bipartisan pledge not to use stolen or hacked information in House campaigns. After months of negotiation, last September, Republicans backed out, refusing to sign the pledge. In the last few months, we have seen Republican voter fraud in North Carolina so severe that it invalidated a House election. A GOP staffer arrested for election fraud in Virginia. A Republican Texas mayor arrested for rigging an election, and Texas Republican Secretary of State forced to resign after his botched attempt to purge the voter rolls. The Senate's rejection of election protection efforts this week suggests that the GOP's frequent complaints about voter fraud were a farce. Now, really? Gee. So, it was written elsewhere, when the history of this bizarre error is written, it may very well be said that McConnell was the man behind the curtain who made it all happen. If and when the Democrats win control of the Senate again, this issue will suddenly leap back into prominence under the amorphous and immoral set of Republican rules and values. Now, think about everything that I've just said for the past few minutes here. The Republican Party seems to be complicit in the treachery and pwnage of Donald Trump and, by his extension, his master, Vladimir Putin. This is why I speak badly about the Republican Party. This is why I speak badly about Trump. They are traitorous to the American way of life. They collude with foreign powers, and they're going to do their damnedest to stay in power. Please, people, wake the fuck up. What the fuck? In other, and a rather different WTF here for today, DEFCON's Voting Village and Artificial Intelligence Village have teamed up with a group called Roots Asylum, a nonprofit dedicated to educating kids about white hat hacking, to teach budding InfoSec enthusiasts between the ages of 8 and 16 about digital threats to democracy. Like the Voting Village, which lets adults explore flaws in election infrastructure, Roots Asylum gives kids a chance to poke holes in election security. Last year, Roots Asylum made its first foray into election security. Kids used SQL injection to access and manipulate synthetic state election results websites where they could change the candidates and display vote counts. It took two 11-year-old hackers just 15 minutes to crack a replica of the Florida Secretary of State's website and change its voter count reports. This year's event puts a new spin on election security by letting kids explore bugs in simulated campaign financial disclosure portals using SQL injection code and other tactics. They'll then take fraudulent financial reports and attempt to spread them via disinformation campaigns. We are trying to teach kids about the vulnerabilities that still exist in our election ecosystem, according to Morgan Ryan, an organizer for the Roots Asylum and advisor with the University of Chicago's Cyber Policy Initiative. The more they know, the more exposure online, according to Ryan. They've been relatively unexplored to date, she adds, and absent from the larger discussion of election security, despite a critical role in election infrastructure. The public relies on Secretaries of State or Federal Election Commission websites as factual sources. If financial disclosure reports can be manipulated, who can we trust? This is why Roots Asylum organizers are adding a new challenge to teach kids how fake news can spread online, tying the hacking of websites to a social media disinformation campaign. The Hacking Station and Disinformation Campaign Challenge will be side-by-side in the Roots Village, according to Ryan, as kids from the Election Hacking Station manipulate financial disclosure pages. Those changes will be highlighted on a projector at the Disinformation Station. There, kids can view the fraudulent data and use it to create social media campaigns. They'll be able to use some of the same bot methods used by Russian hackers in election interference. The Mueller report found hackers used SQL injection to hack real election websites, which Ryan says taught Roots its 2018 challenge was squarely on point. Roots had received skepticism about whether its synthetic sites accurately represented real estate websites. When Russian hackers employed SQL injection to breach election websites, they did far more than deface the sites, as Roots participants did in 2018. After breaching the site, they accessed voter registration databases, a far more malicious act. Ryan said in a statement giving arguments saying voter registration databases were air-gapped or could not be accessed via the internet. Imagine that. The synthetic campaign finance portals for the 2019 challenge are designed and built by Ares Security founder and CEO Brian Marcus, who had previously adapted his Capture the Packet simulator so the U.S. Department of Defense could use it for training and vetting cybersecurity professionals. More than anything, we hope kids will see that they are future voters and therefore soon to be critical participants in our democracy, Ryan said. Perhaps if they see they can have an impact and improve not only the infrastructure of our election ecosystem, but truly the bedrock of this democracy, then we have done a good thing indeed. This is a pleasant kind of sort of WTF in that this is teaching the next generation what to do here to help prevent this kind of hacking. The way to do this is to discover how they're doing it, emulate it, and then have the brightest minds on the planet Earth get together and do something about it. So among other things I want to mention here, since we're talking about DEF CON, is my impending trip, I hope, to DEF CON in order to explore FCC Part 15 certification to these devices, as well as to confer with all the other bright minds who are showing up here. It is my intention to be there. Please check out my GoFundMe link, which you will find hopefully somewhere on the place, including this page, for this particular show. I need cash to get there because I'm all the way in Allentown, Pennsylvania. At the very least, I need money to get there. I need money to get back. I need money to get in the door. It's $300 just to get in the front door at DEF CON. And that doesn't include food. That doesn't include an air-conditioned room because the temperatures out there are probably around 110, 120 degrees. You really can fry an egg on the sidewalk out in DEF CON, and I really would rather not be outside as little as possible, especially at that time of the year. So I'm going to leave off here for now. Thank you again for joining me here with these daily WTFs. Please check out some of my other previous work, including some that were quite popular at one time. And please stay tuned because I'm going to be talking about election security a lot here in the near future. Thank you for joining. will see you at the comic book.